ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रूपं याद एतद् अवबोधा रसोदयेन शश्वान् निवृत्ता तमसस् सद् अनुग्रहाय आदौ गृहीतम् अवतार सथैक बीजम् यन् नाभि पद्मा भवनाद् अहम् आविरासम् रूपं यरेतद् अवबोधरसोधायेन शश्वन्निवृत्ततमसस्सद् अनुग्रहाय आदौ गृहीतमवतार शथैकबीजम् यन्नाभिपद्मभवनाद् अहम् आविरासम् रूपं यरेधरवबोधरसोधयेन शश्वन्निवृत्ततमसस्सदनुग्रहाय आदौ गृहीतमवतार सथैकबीजम् यन्नाभिपद्मभवनाद् अहम् आविरासम् रूपं यरेधरवबोधरसोधयेन शश्वन्निवृत्ततमसस्सदनुग्रहाय आदौ गृहीतमवतार सथैकबीजम् यन्नाभिपद्मभवनादहमाभिरासम् रूपम् फॉर्म यत् व्हिच एतत् दैट अवबोधरासा ऑफ योर इंटरनल पोटेंसी उदयेन With the manifestation, Shashvat, forever, Nivritta, free from, Tamasa, material contamination, Saranugrahaya, for the sake of the devotees, Adao, original in the creative energy of matter. Grihitam, accepted. Avatara, of incarnations. Shata eka bijam, the root cause of hundreds. Yat, that which. Nabhi, padma, the navel lotus flower. Bhavanata, from the home. Aham, myself. Avirasam, generated. Translation. The form which I see is eternally free from material contamination and has advented to show mercy to the devotees as a manifestation of internal potency. This incarnation is the origin of many other incarnations, and I am born from the lotus flower grown from your navel home. Purport. The three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, Shiva, the executive heads of the three modes of material nature, passion, goodness, and ignorance, are all generated from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is described herein by Brahma. From the Kirukdakshay Vishnu, many Vishnu incarnations expand at different ages in the duration of the cosmic manifestation. They are expanded only for the transcendental happiness of the pure devotees. The incarnations of Vishnu who appear at different ages and times are never to be compared to the conditioned souls. The Vishnu tattvas are not to be compared to deities like Brahma and Shiva, nor are they on the same level. Anyone who compares them is called a Pashandi, or infidel. Tamasaha, mentioned herein, is the material nature, and the spiritual nature has a completely separate existence from Tama. Therefore, spiritual nature is called Abhabodharasa, or Abarodharasa. Abarodha means that which completely nullifies. In the transcendence, there is no chance of material contact by any means. Brahma is the first living being, and therefore he mentions his birth from the lotus flower generated from the abdomen of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. So here Brahma is establishing, because this is creation. So it's important to know the Lord's position in this. He's the origin of it, but he's not touched by it, right? The example given is that the, the separation between the lotus and the water. So in this way then, here it's the opposite. The water and the Lord, they are transcendent. The lotus is the one that's carrying the material creation. So the principle is that one has to know the Lord, how he's come from everything. I mean, everything's come from him. This is very important because the devotee has to understand how everything that they're dealing with, everything they observe, everything that's important to them, is coming from the Lord. That element then makes it very special. He mentions here, this incarnation is the origin. Let's see what. Advented to show his mercy to the devotees as a manifestation of internal potency. So it's a manifestation of internal potency, but then that would give the idea that potency is first, then he manifests from that. But it's by his potency, because when Krishna does anything, he does it according to potency. Means he is the Lord of that, through that he gets his work done. Like a great man has money, through his money he gets work done, but he is still separate from the money. He generates the money. But another aspect then we see is that he has so many forms that are there. There's unlimited ways you could see the Lord, unlimited forms that are there. But he, in this case, then it's what the internal potency sees is then what the devotees see. He comes to please the pure devotees. So that would indicate generally the devotees that are here within this world. Right? Means the eternal associates he's always with. So he doesn't have to manifest a pastime here to be with them. There he's, wherever he goes, he takes them with him. So they're already seeing the Lord. But here it means those who want to see the Lord, who wish to see the Lord, because they have, due to their devotional mood and their qualifications, then they want to see the Lord. But that means then all of them will be devotees who are following a devotee. Does that make sense? So that means through that devotee that they are serving, the pure devotees are serving, then they will see, the Lord. Does that make sense? In other words, you have a devotee. You don't see just a form based on yourself. You know what I'm saying? You see a form based on those that you serve. Does that make sense? Like Prabhupada said, after they, made the deities nicely, dressed them, and he says, I've given you Kishore Krishna. That means we've been given that form. That's the form we're seeing. Otherwise, we wouldn't see anything, right? We see here, we see a table, right? Dead matter. But that table only is a table because it performs a function. That function is a potency of Krishna. It holds things up. Does that make sense? So we see dead matter, but devotees see Krishna's potency to hold things up. Dead matter may be the form. Any form can be there. Does that make sense? Right? You have the mother potency. It comes in a nice form, transcendental form, as Mother Jashoda. It comes in a less transcendental form as Putana. But what does Krishna see? Does he see, oh, here's my great devotee and here's a nasty, stinky, you know, witch? Is that how Krishna saw it? No, he saw Mother. We see the nasty, stinky witch. Does that make sense? So that's the beauty of the whole thing, is it's written from our, for our perspective. But we always have to be very, very careful that all the other perspectives are also written in. That's Krishna's potency. That's his expertise, is that whatever he says, whatever the great devotees say, then they can say one thing that's good for everybody. Right? Just like parents, when the kids are around, they can say things that are very adult, that the adults understand, but the kids don't. But it makes sense to the kids, but on a different platform. Does that make sense? So, therefore, we should not think that just what I read, that's it. What you read, it's written that way so that you can read something. So you can connect yourself to Krishna. But it's also written that others can also. So that means the whole process is progressive. If it's not progressive, what's the use? The concept that it's, I've situated myself spiritually, that's good enough. But that's a concept of the conditioned soul who thinks he's God. Right? Does that make sense? God is the original person who doesn't have to do anything. Right? Energies are his. He can manifest them, not manifest them. But he's independent. He's his own support. He doesn't require anything else. So therefore, there's no need of action. Right? But that's only him. Only God. Energy is active. It's always active. It can't not be active. So for the living entity to think, now I've done this, now I can sit back, that concept is the concept of a conditioned soul. It's not a transcendental concept. Right? So it doesn't work for us spiritually or materially. Spiritually it won't work, because then we think, oh, I chanted my rounds, now I can, you know, that's it, I don't have to chant more until tomorrow, or I've done my service, now I can just sit back, or, you know, so many things. Or it's good enough, oh, I've gotten to this level in devotional service, okay, I've, you know, done nicely at this level, that's good enough. No, but it's always supposed to be increasing. But why would one say that unless one is proud? I'm good enough. That's pride. That's false ego. It's ignorance. It means not doing anything. Right? And what is the ignorance of the soul? I am God. Right? In our pure state, I am servant of God. In our impure state, I am God. Right? And materially gets us into problem because we do the same thing. Right? It doesn't work on our families. Oh, hey, I made the house, that's enough. Or I got you some nice clothes, that's enough. Or I got the money, that's enough. Or I provide the food, that's enough. And in case anyone didn't notice, if you wonder where your problem's coming from, if you're doing this, that's it. But it's not enough. So if it's not enough here, no one buys it here. Why should God buy it? He's the original person. Right? All the mentalities that are here are all reflected from him. Right? We're independent because he's independent. Right? We like affection because he likes. Right? Does that make sense? Whatever it is that we like comes. So if no one here likes it, why should he like it? So this ignorance just doesn't work. This idea that it's enough, it's done. That's static. Static doesn't do anything, doesn't generate anything. And if one thinks I'll be happy by that, one is foolish. Right? One can be Atmarama by that, because that's what Krishna is. When Krishna is in that state, it's called Atmarama. So if someone here is not interacting with the material nature and is therefore Atmarama, it'll work. But the soul, as a soul, can't be Atmarama on the spiritual platform. Meaning, in this way, that they are not engaged in activity. Does that make sense? In other words, they have to be active. There has to be rasa. There has to be interaction. It's only through the interaction that anything will be appreciated. Right? Inaction does not generate appreciation. Right? Any taste, it comes from action. Right? Food is over there, you're over here. Anything happens? No. At least you have to see it. But then there's an interaction. Oh, that could be nice, or that looks nice. Right? Right? Until the senses come into contact and interact, nothing happens. It just doesn't. Right? So that's why then, if the senses are engaged in the Lord of the senses service, it works. Right? So then here, this action, that action is being performed by the devotees. Right? The eternal associates, they're performing the activity. We assist them. Right? So they are the internal potency. Through their view, that's who we see. Right? You see Braja Krishna because there's Radharani. Right? You see Dwarka Krishna because there's Rukmini. You see Vaikunthapati because there's Lakshmi. Right? Does that make sense? You see the Purusha avatars because there's Rama Devi. You see Maya because there's, you know, Mahamaya. There's Durga. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that, so from this is that the Lord therefore has nothing to do with this material vision. Right? It's not the elements that he's separate from, because he enters those elements. Right? He's sitting in your heart. But it's not mundane. Right? Mundane is our concept. Right? Mundane is something we have generated. Mundane is not an eternal principle. Right? At least for the individual. Does that make sense? Right? Mundane is our vision where we don't see Krishna. That makes sense? Then we make a distinction between the Lord manifest through the dead matter is going to be less than God manifest through the spiritual matter. Right? Then in the spiritual, then we'll see Goloka is higher than Vaikuntha, and we'll see Braja is higher than Dwarka. Right? Does that make sense? So then it takes us forward. That's why things must be dynamic. Because otherwise, as your realization deepens, if you think that's enough, that's where you'll stop. Right? I mean, we're talking about just seeing Krishna everywhere in everything. And we're talking about seeing him in dead matter. But that's a big step up from just seeing the matter itself. But still, we're looking at God manifest in the Brahman of the material energy. Right? Then we take it a step further. Then we see how he has entered everything, is between everything, is the Paramatma. And then through his potencies, the same thing gets done. But still, until it gets to Bhagavan, it's not happening. Right? So it's a progression. That's why the devotional service must be dynamic. Never can be static. That doesn't mean you always have to be physically busy. But the point is whatever it takes to keep one fully absorbed, that's what one wants to do. Right? So then Brahma is asking here that he, as his service is creation, that he sees the origin, he sees how everything is coming from Krishna, the potency is from Krishna. He's been empowered with this potency, but still, even though he's empowered, it's a dynamic principle. So, okay, now I've been empowered, that's it. No. Empowered means it's a flow. Energy is a flow. That means that every moment that empowering is going on. So at every moment he has to be aware of God, where it comes from. Right? The energy, the electricity flows because the generator is running and the generator is connected to the wire. You disconnect the wire, generator is running, no electricity. So you always have to see that connection. Right? Does that make sense? So that's... Yeah. Okay, that which completely nullifies avarodha, avarodha rasa, spiritual nature, means it completely nullifies this material concept. It just doesn't exist. That's why devotees can come here, do so many pastimes and have no problem, because they aren't in the material world. They're in the inferior energy, but they're not in the material world. Does that make sense? You know, they're here. The Pandavas are here. They're functioning within the realm of the inferior energy, but still under the internal potency. So they're restricted by the restrictions of this world, but they're seeing it as Krishna. It's just like, you know, you have a nice garden in the front and then you have kind of out in the back, you know. And back's not very developed or very nice, but it still is part of the house. Right? So then if you want to do something nice, you sit in the front. Does that make sense? It's just, you know, this is the, like that, the, how you say, the jungle out in the back, right? You know. Okay. So any questions on this?
So this pilgrimage always comes in the light, whatever recovery is done, one feels satisfied or complacent about it. Or then, to go ahead, he feels a great, you can say, inertia.
How we should move ahead. Okay, so the living entity, this inertia comes naturally. One's done something, once he, the word used was satisfied, or what was the other word?
Content.
No, you use another one. Complacent, yeah, that was the better word. Satisfied is a different thing. Complacent. So, okay, just to define things, to make it very clear. No, we'll do it the other way. The way is, that's why the path is there. It's a seamless path, right? But in that, then there are, you know, how you say, divisions made, because we're working with intelligence. But unfortunately, because these divisions are made, then we also have a tendency to accept and reject and not see things actually in a very mature fashion. So the process is from Shraddha to Prema, when we're moving through Neophyte, Madhyam, and Uttamadhikari, then it's seamless. And so in this, it's you do whatever is important. Right? Means it's a balance between you have to follow the process laid out by the acharyas. At the same time is, like them, develop the mood that the acharyas have on why they follow it. To overemphasize one or the other is wrong. Right? So that's the popular positioning. Right? But the point is what's the difference, right? The natural position of the child is healthy, but if they're sick, you give them the medicine and they follow a particular lifestyle, you know, food, lifestyle, dress, everything. But the point is you inspire them to involve themselves in that process by talking about the healthy condition. But if you talk about the healthy condition in such a way that that's the only way it is, and anybody who's sick and takes all this, that's not, they're just sick, what's useless? That person is doing a great disservice to the Vaishnava community because they don't understand the process of the Acharyas. The Acharyas, we have to remember, are not new kids on the block. That Raghunuga Bhakti is something new for them. That's for teenagers. Teenage kids sit around and somehow the interaction between men and women is like the newest, biggest thing for them. They got to talk about it all the time and everything, everywhere, poke it in, shove it in there. Somehow or another find something, that little look, you know, the adults don't know about it, right? You know, the adults had the sex, had them, but they don't know about this stuff, you know. We know because we're, you know, 13-year-olds, you know. So that's your so-called flag-waving Raghunuga Bhaktas, the teenagers. Mature adults who have consummated a marriage don't sit around and, like punks, talk about Raghunuga Bhakti. They talk about how to raise the kids and make them into adults where they'll get them married and they'll have kids. That's maturity. That's advancement. Not this other nonsense. Right? So the balance is there. We know it's there. It's where we're trying to get to. But to make a thing out of it, what's the difference between that thing and another thing? Right? You have a path. And one side is like a razor's edge. And a great volume, huge, unlimited, one side is for the smartas. The other side is for the sahajas. Right? Or we can take those as ridiculous. What's that word? Rupa Goswami uses it meaning following the rule, niyamagraha. So one side's niyamagraha, that you throw out the rules because, you know, you don't understand them. The other side is because you only think the rules are it. But they've missed the point. You want to get the braja, it's a very fine point. Very narrow. I mean, Radha and Krishna, 5,000 years ago, Nimbarkacharya gave Radha Krishna worship in Raghunuga Bhakti, right? Where they're always together in Sambhog. That's already been given 5,000 years ago. So what is Lord Chaitanya giving that's different? You understand? So it must be something very fine. There was an impending court case between the Gaudiyas and the Nimbarkas because they said, we're stealing their philosophy. Right? They said, we're going to take you to court because you're preaching this Raghunuga sadhana. And that's our thing. Go get your own thing. You know? She's got theirs, you know. Madhva's got theirs. Why don't you get yours? You know? This is ours. Right? So our answer was, okay, you want to go to court. Our first point we'll bring up is, you can't prove in Shastra that Nimbarka existed. Right? Lawyers all went away, and that was the end of it. Right? We know Nimbarka is there, but I'm just saying is they want to be legalistic. So the point is it's very fine. And so therefore, great persons who have never fallen down. They've never been conditioned souls. Like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They were very careful that sadhana bhakti was understood and followed, but with the intent that you're trying to get to the Raghunuga. But to falsely put yourself there, what's the big deal? Right? Kids sitting around in the corners, you know, sniggering and sign language and little notes in the shoes and all that. Has any good progressive family life come from that? Nothing. Nothing's good. It means nothing. Because the qualities you need to be perfect in your grihastha life are not sitting around and talking about it. You know, you have to be responsible, clean, dynamic, you know, not lazy, you know, controlling the anger, controlling it. These are the qualities needed. Right? You haven't found somebody, Mr. and Mrs., you know, Das, you know, you've been married for the last 40 years, you know, what's your, secret of success? Well, we never told anybody, but it was because we were teenagers, you know, we just sat around in the bushes and talked about it, you know. Like that. We don't tell people, you know, they can't understand. You know? Have you ever heard that? Ever? No, it's always some very virtuous quality. And that virtuous quality doesn't come sitting around and, you know, sniggering about it. Ooh, tingly, you know. It doesn't happen. It's work. So that's the whole point, is sadhana keeps you working. It keeps you out of ignorance. Because those on raganuga means they're out of ignorance because they like being out of ignorance. Right? They like God as a person, not I am God. Right? Because one may say, no, but we always think of God. Okay, let's take the raganugis. Let's take them. Okay, so we always think about God and this and that, but what are they thinking of? Krishna's with Radha. Who are they, how, who are they seeing the pastime through? Radha or Krishna? Right? Krishna touches Radha here, he does her hair there, he fixes this. Who are they seeing it through? Radha or Krishna? Krishna. So that means? That means you're still in I am the controller and enjoyer mood. Otherwise you see it through Radha. So, where is the real Raganuga? Raganuga is a mood, not just that you'd sit around and talk about things. You're doing it. It's part of you. Right? We eat because of an intense, you know, situation in rag bhakti when it comes to prasad. We like prasad, therefore we eat it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. It should be like that in our chanting, in our attending the programs, associating with devotees, like that. That's raganuga. Some may not accept that, but I'm sorry. That's what Rupa Goswami says in Nectar Devotion. That's just the way it is. Rupa also never was conditioned. So it's strange that those who are never conditioned have this very kind of broad and gentle approach to it. They don't have this hard line. You're at this state, you're sick, take this medicine. You're almost healthy, take this medicine. You're healthy, then do this. Very practical. That makes sense? So that's the point, is rag bhakti is to, I mean, the vaidhi bhakti is to keep one moving because one has no reason to move because one thinks one's God. God sits back, he's the center of attention, everything happens to him. That's our idea of what a man is, right? Isn't it? You ever seen boys get together and, you know, they play men, right? Generally, if boys get together, there's no women in the program, right? You know, to get out their swords or their this or that. And but if the girls get together, then there's always got to be a few boys involved in that. But then the mood that they take is always very, how do you say, like overdone, you know, like melodramatic, you know, like that. So that's actually how, what we do in trying to be God. Do we ever hear a Krishna in pastime sitting around doing nothing? He's always active. But we think we as being God will sit around and everything will just come to us. So that's a feminine view of masculinity. You understand? Does that make sense? So the guy, he sits back and thinks, I'm the president, or I'm the husband, or I'm the father, or I'm whatever it is, and I've done my bit, now everybody else should just reciprocate. Is that actually masculine? Or is that feminine who thinks they're masculine? Right? Right? So worse than feminine being feminine is feminine being masculine. Right? Just like it says, women are bad association, but worse is a man who's attached to them. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the misapplied, the perverted viewpoint is always worse than the natural viewpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the principle, is that we understand that here we're just trying to see what works. We're not afraid of raganuga sadhana. We're not afraid of vaidhi sadhana. Because we're not going to get stuck in vaidhi because we know our goal is rag. So why that? Our problem is coming from the mode of ignorance, coming from backgrounds where we generally don't practice things, you know. I mean, how many are born in practicing families that follow the Vedic culture, how many are there? Very few. They're there. They're going on now. But they're getting less and less and less. Right? Like so many people, you know, here we could say, raise your hands if you're from a Brahmin background. Right? And then if I ask, what do you do? Engineer, medicine, accounting, computers, not puja. I don't know one Vedic mantra. I wouldn't know what a Gayatri was until I came in contact with Hare Krishna. So, you know what I'm saying? But there are places where they do know. But how many have come from that? So therefore, sadhana is not a natural thing. I mean, of course, we have our own sadhana. You go to bed at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. You get up at, you know, 5 in the morning, like that. You know, so like that. So we have our sadhana. But as far as Vedic, it's not there. So that's why the Vaidhi is there to just create a framework that just makes sure it keeps moving. Because if it's moving, then we get used to movement is actually where the taste is generated. But we're so accustomed to ignorance that as soon as we get a taste, we immediately stop. Therefore, you use the word satisfied. But satisfied, there's no such thing as material satisfaction. Right? So therefore, it's not the word. Right? Complacent, that was the better word. So we take complacency as a good position, but it's not. So they're different. Satisfied, you can be satisfied in two things. One is, it means you can pay, basically is by intelligence or by relationship. By relationship, you can be satisfied that it's nice, right? No man can ever buy enough saris for a woman. It's not possible. Right? Like that. So, but his endeavor and his consistent arrangement of facility, the woman will be satisfied. You know? It's just like the child. They come back from, you know, their first couple of days at school and they always bring this nice crayon, you know, kind of like thing. You know, there's the sun and a house and a few birds and, you know, mommy and daddy are there and all in funny crayons and all that. So the mother's satisfied with that because of the endeavor. Not she's going, wow, this is like a Rembrandt here, you know, like that, you know. We should contact Sotheby's here, you know. Like that. Honey, I've solved our money problem. We'll just sell our kids, you know what I'm saying? It's not that, it's therefore it's satisfaction. On the intellectual platform, satisfaction is knowing that I've done my best endeavor according to Shastra. I've gotten the best result, and that best result falls far short of even the simplest spiritual result. Therefore, I'm satisfied that you can never be satisfied in this world. Right? That's Yayati's satisfaction, right? 1,000 years he asked for the youth of his son, and it said he enjoyed to the fullest of his capacity, like that, without breaking any rules of the Shastra. But the absolute fullest, and it said that after 1,000 years he came back to his son, gave his youth back, and said, now I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied that you cannot be satisfied in this world. Right? But it means you realize that you're comfortable. It's not that it's intellectual. I know it's that you know, because you do something, and while you're doing it, it's nice, but as soon as it's over, it's gone. Right? One, it indicates that only through action you get something. So you have to find an action that can always go on, because the material thing of tasting something, smelling something, this can't continue. It always comes, goes. So you have to find something that's consistent. Right? And that means the connection to always seeing Krishna. Therefore, then one always gets that satisfaction of the devotional rasa. And the material will come and go. That's just the way it is. But it's not there. So therefore, then you're only looking at the one. The other one is a side thing, a side benefit. You know what I'm saying? It's nice, but it doesn't. It's not what you're focusing on. Does that make sense? So, we end here. It's 9 o'clock. Dantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premanandi.